Okay. Before we get to the shir, I want to dedicate tonight's shir, Lezecher Nishmas, a very good friend of my wife's for many, many years, Dita Mochetzin Jacobs, whose yahrzeit is this evening. I believe it's 15 years since her patira. She was a very close childhood friend of my wife's. And Rachmana Litzlan, she died certainly very, very young. And her family has certainly done an amazing job at perpetuating her life through an amazing Gimlos Chasadim program. And so I'm just dedicating the shir Lezecher Nishmasa, and Amir Tzashem, after the shir, the food that we have will also be Lezecher Nishmasa, Dita Mochetzin Jacobs. Maisa Shahaya?
Shahaya!
Shkoyach, very strong. So tonight we'll do a Rav Zilberstein Shaila as we normally do. And I think tonight's Shaila is interesting because it's going to revolve around many different areas of halacha. Listen to this very strange story, but the story is very, very apropos, not to exactly the case, but very interesting. And this is the way Rav Zilberstein starts. Shimuna Raboisai. Shayla, very, very interesting question happened, and here is the following case. He said, not so long ago, again, this is safer, is pretty modern, so we're talking about, sometime in the, in 2010, 2011, 2012, maybe 13. He says, Rav Sha'ani Chipes, there was a person who was searching many, many, many years, months, for a job. And he could not find a job, and of course it created a very difficult situation in his family, being unemployed for so many years. And finally, he received a job that he was very excited about. He received to become a Mishmar HaMalchus HaAngli, to become from the honor guard of the Queen. I'm sure we've seen these people with the wonderful hats in England. So he became one of those wonderful guards. We've seen this before, the changing of the guard. They wear all the nice dress up and the sword and the whole thing. However, there's one little problem with this. When you accept a job, you must commit to work 7 days a week, which in England includes Shabbos Kodesh. So I know what you're going to claim. You're going to say to me what? You're going to say, oh, I know. This is what this person is telling Rav Zilberstein. You're going to tell me it's something called Schar Shabbos. We've discussed Schar Shabbos before, Mefurish Halacha, about working on Shabbos. We'll get to that in just a moment. But he says, I know that there's a heterim, and he quotes different heterim that might revolve around that, which we'll get to in a moment. Ulam, however, that's not my question. My question is as follows. In order for me to do this job, as I told you, I must put up the whole getup, which is clothes, which is fine, but I also must wear a sword on me. That's what the law is. However, where I will be doing the Shmirah in the King Queen's Palace does not yet have an Eruv. We have to speak to the current Chief Rabbi of England. I don't know why there's no Eruv there. I'm not sure why. There's no Eruv. Well, this guy doesn't trust the Eruv. He's very frum. He doesn't trust the Eruv. And he says, and therefore, it's a problem because I'll be wearing the sword, but it's still a sword, and you're not allowed to, without an Eruv, carry Arba Amos in the Rishus. So this is a problem. So he's asking him, what can be done? Now, we have to keep in mind that this person has no job, number one. Number two, we have to keep in mind, wait a minute, what happened to Schar Shabbos? Why is that not Schar Shabbos? Let's understand what Schar Shabbos is. So your typical question, which comes up all the time, certainly in America, is a guy wants to be a waiter, right?
Yes.
So what does he do? How can you be a waiter on Shabbos, guy?
Before Shabbos.
What?
You start before Shabbos.
So the question is, how can you be a waiter? How can you be a rabbi? Right? How can you do anything that involves working on Shabbos, a mashgiach? So any reputable catering place will tell you, you must arrive early on Friday to start the preparations. And we will be paying you based on that. The rabbi is being paid for the speech that he's going to write on Friday. The youth leader is being paid to do whatever preparations they need to do before, because you're not allowed to work on Shabbos. That's mefurish. That being said, there are some heterim which are discussed in Shulchan Aruch Simon Shin Vav Sif Dalit, right? About different cases where we would allow Schar Shabbos. Again, one of the typical cases, just in general, not that we're actually working, but a typical case would be, a very important case, is the case of somebody who has an investment or has money in a bank. So technically, your money is certainly making money on Shabbat, right? And that's a problem. Schar Shabbos is a problem. So says Rav Zilberstein, so what about the Schar Shabbos, right? So let me ask you a question. How is it? Let's talk about Shavuos, right? You want to tell me, oh, but on Shabbos, you know, the markets are closed. So the markets are open on Shavuos in America. So what's going to happen? You're going to make money back and forth. You're not doing any business. But at the end of Shavuos, you'll check your stocks. Oh my God, I made another $1 million, right? It's one of the reasons I'm a Rebbe in the yeshiva. I'm just making money in the stock market. So what's the answer? Why is that allowed? So this is the hetzer that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Because the Rebach, it's a whole week, because the money's in for a long time, so it's future investments, and it's like putting a whole kittel, and that's what it is. That's fine. So this gentleman dismisses Schar Shabbos, and interestingly enough, as we'll see, Rav Zilberstein seemingly dismisses Schar Shabbos, which I don't understand why, and he says, no, that's not the problem. A person's working on Shabbos. That seemingly is a huge problem, I think. So you say he's preparing before Shabbos. He's also working for the honor guard, so maybe that's considered to be like a soldier or like a police officer. Okay, fine. So starts over Zilberstein answering the question, and he says, well, before I answer the question, I'll ask you guys, why do you think it would be mutter for him to carry the sword? No? Anybody think that it's okay for him to be an honor guard? Can he do this? Can he be an honor guard?
I think Shabbos is the first issue. I mean,
working on Shabbos.
I think when you put that issue up, you don't even need that. Why would you have to deal with all this Erev? Like,
okay.
The first thing is,
okay.
Shabbos, you shouldn't be
able... For whatever reason, we're dealing with the Erev issue. I don't know if you've ever experienced this.
Holding a sword, which is...
I don't know if you've ever experienced this in your teenage life. Have you ever remembered in your life they're not having an Erev?
There's always been an Erev.
What?
There's always been an Erev.
Right, but you never remember there being a storm or something and the Erev being down.
Aren't they not supposed to tell you when you're...
Very good. Excellent.
What if there was an Eru in the Buckingham Palace? Would this still be a problem, though?
No, of course not. That's not what the question is. By the way, it's not. I'm not so partial, because a sword could be seen as a Kliu Malachna L'Isser. So that could be... He doesn't discuss that either, which I wonder. Not just that, I would venture to say there is something called Kli Malach, Machmas Chisaron Kis.
Machmas Chisaron Kis, that you value it a lot.
Right, and therefore what? That, you're not allowed to move no matter what. We normally say that even though my iPhone may not be a bad case. If I have a pencil on my, so Kli Malach L'Isser, I can move it. So Kufo Makomo, you're allowed to move it. But what if it's my iPhone and I see, oh shoot, my son is getting to the iPhone, right? I have a problem. So normally we say, well, it's a Kli Malach L'Isser. Is it a Kli Malach L'Isser? Maybe it's a Kli Malach L'Isser and Kiss. Kiss means is that I'm so nervous. That would be fun. Why? So there the Isser is what? What's the Isser? So the Isser is you can't move it. So Kufa Sok Makoma. So some can tie it to me, well, I don't care, right? Let's say Herrenstein's a good example. Herrenstein, what do you have, an iPhone? So you don't care if somebody breaks it. You won't care, right?
He doesn't care.
Right. So he doesn't care. So he wouldn't care about that. But some people, let's say you live in Israel, iPhone, why is it mashu? So that would be a problem. So Kli Malach, right. So therefore, there would be a problem of an Israel. Some people are so machmir, right, that they hold their phone very close to them, and they're always on it, right? That shows that we'd be very upset. So that could be in this case, Joe. But in the case of the Eruv, let's discuss. So, Herrenstein said something before I say anything, I have to at least mention this very important point. And that is that the famous question, right? The Eruv goes down, and they come and they whisper to Rabbi Baum, and they say, Rabbi Baum, there's just something horrible. There was a horrible accident on River Road, and the Eruv went down. And now it's the middle of Shabbos. And now it's the middle of Shul. So you got a huge problem here, because half the people in the shul, whatever amount of people in the shul, have baby carriages. How are they going to get their babies home, right?
I remember in camp they told us.
Oh. So the halacha says that if the rabbi announces it and he knows that the people will not listen to him, not because they're bad people, but like, well, what do you want me to do? I'm going to stay in shul now for the rest of Shabbos? No. So then it's not appropriate for the rabbi to say anything. We actually had here, you guys don't even know about this, we had here in the yeshiva on Shabbos Chanukah, there was a horrible accident, and there was an accident, and a bus overturned. Baruch Hashem, the person was fine, but it overturned. What we didn't realize is that in the process of it overturning, it hit a pole, the Eruv pole, and it fell over. Nobody thought about this. And Shabbos started, and guess what? We realized that there was no Eruv. So, Maisa Shaya Kachaya, there was somebody that was available there. I don't know if it was Mutter or not, but it's a long story anyway. But it had a certain hetzer they fought from Rav Yosef, and they were able to fix the Eruv, but that was only for certain blocks. So it wasn't good for everybody. So the question there was, now Shabbos has started, should you announce it to people? So if you know the people for sure are going to listen, you should, of course, are on our block. We told people, no, there's no Erev. Fine. In any case, over here says Rav, so that's important. No, we didn't tell you anything. So says Rav Zilberstein the following. Never b'shulchan aruch simen shin aleph siv zayin. Kol hayotzi dabar she'eino tachshit. Something that's not jewelry or that's a clothing item, derech malbush, right? And it's something that you normally would wear, so you chayav, right? So this is why women are allowed to wear jewelry. There's a question whether a man, that's always a famous question, is about a watch. Why? It depends on the type of watch it is. If it's a fancy jewelry watch, so then yeah, it's like jewelry. What are we afraid of? We're afraid of him taking it off. Right? This is a question about gloves, for example. You have no Eruv, and about gloves, so the halacha says, if I'm not mistaken, the poskim say that when a woman is allowed to wear gloves and a man isn't. What a crazy halacha. Why? No, because a man, when he's walking in the street and he sees somebody else and it's a chasha person and it's good Shabbos, he'll take the glove off and say good Shabbos, even if it's cold outside. That's what the halacha says. That's probably true. Whether or not you do that, it doesn't matter. So that's the question. So some people say, well, the way you determine whether or not a watch is allowed, if the watch was broken, would you still wear it?
Yeah.
So they're right.
Oh. Broken, but I still wore it.
Right. So they're crazy people that wear the watch anyway. Good. So a person would be chayav, right? And therefore, there are certain items, says the Shulchan Aruch, Saif, that a person would not be able to wear on Shabbos. See the Mishnah Berurah over there. Now, continues the Mishnah Berurah, I'm sorry, the Shulchan Aruch, and says, for example, a tiras, which is a magain, which is a shield, and a romach, and a sword, and all these things are not tachshitim, and therefore, even if you were wearing them, because you wear the sword, it's also, and it's considered to be tilto, therefore, it seems to be pashatas, that it's also for a person to wear this. Says Rav Zilberstein, that's very nice and fine and dandy. This is a different case, because there's a law that in accordance with the honor of the queen, you must wear the sword. And therefore, it's part of Kavod Malchus, and it becomes part of this uniform. As, quote-unquote, stupid as it might look, just like the big furry hat, that's part of the Malchus. And therefore, it's considered to be part of your body. And therefore, there is a Makom Mahakel, and he quotes the Kobitz Chuvas attributed to Rav Eliyashiv Zatzal, that said that this would be mutter, again, because this is an honor, it's part of his, I don't want to call it a costume, but part of his uniform, and therefore it would be mutter. However, my favorite part, says Rav Zilberstein, the guy said to him, oh, thank God, I can take this job. No, Kavod HaRav, he says, therefore I can take the job. Sha'ol b'simcha, they can finally have the parnasa. Says Rav Zilberstein, b'vadai shalom. It would be usher. Have that time. It would be usher. Why would it be usher, he says? Because, alecha, he goes, you must find another job. He says, I don't understand, I just spent all this time with you, and you told me that it's mutter. What happened? So he says, look at the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Talks about the famous pasuk in Yeshayahu Nunchet. If you look at the pasuk in Yeshayahu Nunchet, so this is a famous pasuk which you guys should know, Kimah, as a very, very important part of Shabbos. And it says as follows. Very, very important part. It's the end over there. Pasuk Yud Gimel, I believe. And it says like this. So he says, Im Teisha Mishabbos Raglecha, La'asos Chavsecha, B'yom Kochi, V'karasi L'Shabbos Oneh. So listen to this, it's very important. If you restrain your feet because it is Shabbos, right? That's what the mitzvah is. Because the day is holy and you have to have oneg on Shabbos. The karas l'Shabbos mechubad, v'kvod v'masa tarchecha, motzi chavsecha v'dabedavar. And a person should realize that this is a different day. And you should not be engaging in affairs that is not appropriate or seeking out or discussing things that are forbidden on Shabbos. This is a very important halacha called medaber dover. A person is not allowed to act or dress the way he does on a regular day. Shabbos is different. Your talk must be different. You're not allowed to talk about, we know about this then, if you ever heard the joke, the Shabbos Garet people say. I'm not allowed to talk my plans after Shabbos. When you say, you want to go to the movies tonight? That's awesome. Right, it's Uvda Dechol, exactly. That's from the pasuk of Midaber Dover, that a person should not to be talking even about doing malachas. You shouldn't be telling somebody a story about how you flew the plane yesterday. You shouldn't be talking malachas. Your talk should be different. And most importantly, your dress should be different, Rabbi Yisai. This is a big problem. We don't talk about this. Let's talk about it for a moment. Yes, son?
My brother's a lot of, like, waiter.
Yeah.
Like, my dad was like, I don't understand, how can you work at Shabbos?
So the answer there is, as we said, that he probably does some preparations before Shabbos, and that's concerning to me. Whether or not we like that or not, okay, it's fair, because what would happen if your brother didn't show up Shabbos morning? So he wouldn't get the money. So, okay, I understand that it's not so solid. But in our case, we're talking about how you dress. So unfortunately, there are some communities, nobody here obviously represents any of those communities, and that community has what we call dress-down Shabbos. Friday night is the highest level. Come Shabbos morning, already now, the tie comes off maybe, or the jacket comes off, and all of a sudden, Shabbos mincha, they believe that what? Polo shirts. So the pasuk is mefurish over here. There's no difference, there's no Kedusha level that has gone down on Shabbos. Shabbos is Shabbos. They tell a story, I heard this from Rav Schechter. Rav Schechter tells a story which is a little bit strict, but I just want you to understand how important it is to dress appropriately on Shabbos. And he tells a story about in Boston, in the summer they used to go after the Rebbetzin Soloveitchik when she passed away. So they went to the summer to learn with the Rav. And there was a Shabbos, and somebody went up to the Rav and said, you know, I walk just to hear your shir an hour from my house to come here. Choshev, yeah? So the Rav said, that's unbelievable. But it's so hot outside, how do you do it? He says, oh, because I have a great thing I do. I come on a Friday afternoon before Shabbos, I leave my jacket, and I walk without my jacket. And apparently Rav Soloveitchik said, better for you not to come to the shir than not wear a jacket in the streets on Shabbos. Oh, okay, so maybe that was different in those, but the point is the point. We have to dress differently. Therefore, says Rav Zilberstein, in our case, on this pasuk, you can wear a uniform. You're dressed like in regular day. A guy's a UPS truckman, right? So you can't wear brown, right? You can't wear brown. You can't wear a UPS thing. This is actually halacha lemaisa. Many of us don't follow this. I don't have this problem anymore in Eretz Yisrael because nobody wears suits in Eretz Yisrael. But in America, you're going to have a corporate job, and let's say the whole week you're wearing suits. So really, really, it would be wonderful if you had a special Shabbos suit. Right? And you don't wear. So somebody asked, this is a good question. So what happens if a guy's Baruch Hashem, he has a great job, and all of his suits for the week, he has no choice. That's the way you dress in the corporate world. He's got these Italian suits, and every suit's more expensive than the other one. Right? And what am I going to do now? So those suits are for the week, and now I'm going to get a clocky suit from, I don't know, Sai Sims all over Shalom, from that store, I mean. I don't think he's there. Right? From there, or whatever, I'll go to Today's Man, and I'll buy a suit for $199. So should you really do that? Okay, I hear the board. My $1,000 suit, I'm not going to wear that on Shabbos. So that's a little bit strange. But really for Shabbos, and by the way, for Yontif too. In fact, I just want to read you the quote here. It's a very important quote from the Mishnah Berurah. Listen to what he says. He says, says the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Reish Samach Beis Seif Hey Heviya in name of the Arizal the following Tov Shalol Yilvash Mishabbos Mikol Mashu the Bosh Machal. Nothing should be the same. Are you ready for this? Afilu Chalak, everything. In our case, your underwear should have Shabbos underwear. You should have Shabbos socks, right? Shabbos shoes, that we know. You should have a Shabbos hat like Albert Maimon, right? You should have everything. Shabbos sits with Shabbos. Yeah. Shabbos is special. Show that you're different on Shabbos. Everything should be different. And what we learned most importantly is that what? Chalila, that a person should be wearing clothes. I remember a story I heard from Rabbi Sabalowski. Rabbi Sabalowski said the same idea. Somebody had some crazy reason they had to go to work. Some seminar they had to go to. So the guy was if I say, is bothering Rabbi Sabalowski and saying, this, that, the other, this is why you can go. I'm going to go on a train, and I know the conductor, so I'm going to be able to ride for free because I'm going to pay after Shabbos, and it's on a track, so maybe it's, and Rabbi, if you think it's going to be a problem, it's going to be Mara Sinai, they're going to see me going on, don't worry, I'm wearing jeans and a t-shirt and a hat. So let's say, well, before we discuss anything, that's the ikra problem. Forget about everything else. You're dressed like chol. You can't be. So this is something we should always keep in mind in general. Besides the Eruv question, let's say we could, and besides Chasha, how do you dress on Shabbos? How do you look on Shabbos? The covet of Shabbos has to be, keep that in mind. I'm not talking about going to sleep, or you're allowed to have time, right? We just said this. That's what the Pasuk says. Oynik Shabbos is important. But to tell me that my Oynik Shabbos is, God knows what, to go out and to put my shorts up, this is inappropriate. I've told you maybe before a story about a friend of mine growing up who I went to his house one time only for lunch. Because when I went there for lunch, they have a very interesting minhag. Everybody comes over from shul, and you have a chiyuv. You must go upstairs and put on a shorts and a t-shirt. Shorts and a polo shirt. Why? Because everybody should be comfortable on Shabbos. And I never had in my life, I couldn't believe this. And I came downstairs and I thought it was the wackiest thing. It was like a chol meal for me, right? Because, right, we know dress makes a man. You feel different on Shabbos when you're dressed nicely. You're coming in Friday night. Oh, so we should keep that in mind, that you have to have special dress for Shabbos. And Mirz Hashem, as I mentioned at the beginning of this year, we should be zeiche for only a Melitz Yoshev for Dina, Mertach and Jacobs, and for all of Klal Yisrael and Mirz Hashem, we should be zeiche to see Bias Mashiach Zidkenu B'Meheru V'Yameinu. Amen.